Isaiah 38. How important is prayer? Right, we just prayed. We prayed for different needs, right? Amanda and Robert, Sister Denise, different things, right? Different stuff. And, you know, there are people who have the fatalistic idea that it really doesn't matter what you, if you pray about it, God already knows what's going to happen. And so what good is it praying? It's already been determined. But I read in the Bible how Moses went to God and said, and God said, I'm going to destroy these people and start over with you. And Moses thought about that. And he said, no, God, please don't do that. I see where, on the other hand, Joshua went to pray and God said, enough prayer. You need to get to work. So is prayer important? Yes, and it has its place. But we also have to do the work associated with the prayer. You know, prayer changes us. Sometimes it does change the mind and the heart of God. It's in the Bible. We see that. Jesus said, when you pray, pray in this way. So we know prayer is important. Paul said, pray without ceasing. So we know it. We're always supposed to be mindful of those prayers. I know that when I get a phone call, you know, the rest of my day, no matter what I'm doing, I'm caught up in prayer. And always, you know, just saying, Lord, meet this need until I know what the answer is. And if we don't have an answer, then that just rolls over. And so in a constant state of prayer, just asking God, begging God, please fix this, make this better. I trust God. I'm in complete surrender to God. But he said, make our requests made known unto God. He said that in his word. And so I'm going to go before him and I'm going to beg if that's what it takes. And that's what we find in Isaiah in verse number 38. In verse number 1, the Bible said, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. How many of you have felt like you were sick unto death? You thought you were going to die. I'm not an old person, but I felt like I was going to die at times in my life. I look around and Brother Robert raised his hand, but there's been some people in our church this year who I think that we all had just kind of thought, well, you know, we're going to pray, but we figure they're not going to make it. But they did, didn't they? God was good. God answered that prayer. And not just this year, but last year, the same thing. And sometimes I'll go and visit people and I'll say, well, they don't look well. Don't look like they're going to make it. But God keeps them here and keeps them going. And I'm glad that he does. And I praise God for those bodies in our church that have been healed this year. Looking forward to some more next year. Amen. And God answering those prayers. But Hezekiah was sick unto death. In other words, if nothing changed, he was going to die. Okay, that's in the Buzzard Roost translation. All right. If nothing changed, he was going to die. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live. Now, when we get the preacher to come to the house, we don't want him to say that, do we? We want him to say, you're going to make it, you're going to be all right, I'm going to pray for you. We want him to pray, and when he prays, we want him to say, God, help him. Not take him, but help him. That's what we want the preacher to say that. Here's a prophet. Isaiah is one of those prophets. I mean, he knows the mind of God. He's been preaching to these people in Israel, Judah, about God's judgment, about what's going to happen. And God gave him those words. And though some of it had not come to pass yet, it was trending that way and it would come to pass. Isaiah did not speak out of turn. He wasn't shooting from the hip. His word was true. And when he said to King Hezekiah, get your house in order because it's time, Hezekiah knew it was true. But you know what Hezekiah didn't do? Hezekiah didn't say, amen, preacher. I'll get my house in order. He said, no, preacher. I don't accept that. He said, no, Isaiah, I don't accept that as my end. I don't accept that. I know that you hear the heart of God. I know that God speaks to you. I know you have the word of God, and I know your word is true, but I don't accept this judgment of death. Now, that's a believer who's willing to challenge things. Because we can go before God and challenge what we believe to be true. And we can ask him, is this the case? This was the prophet. For all purposes, this was his pastor. You know, like Nathan came to David and said, thou art the man. Oh, what judgment. Right? He knew the preacher knew what he was talking about. But when Isaiah said that, Hezekiah did not accept that. He said, no, there's got to be a better way. And the Bible says in verse 2, Hezekiah turned his face away from the preacher toward the wall and prayed to the Lord. You know what that says? He went to the top. He said, Isaiah, I accept what you say. I'm going over your head. I'm going to the boss on this one. And he did. He prayed to the Lord. He didn't just appeal to the preacher. He appealed to the Lord. And he said in verse 3, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. You know one thing, when you go to God, you want to have some backing. You want to have some evidence. You want to be able to say to God, hey, God, I've been faithful. God, I've been serving you. I've been walking with you. I've been right along the line, everything I should be doing. Now, I don't know if all of us could say it exactly that way, right? We can't all say, I've done it all right from the beginning. No, the truth is we've done it our way sometimes. But when Hezekiah went to God, he said, God, I've been faithful to you. I've been serving you. And you know, it breaks my heart because good people who walk with God and serve God get sick and die. Now, on this side of the New Testament, right, Hezekiah's in the Old Testament. Where was he going to go when he died? Go to Abraham's bosom. He was going to go to the holding place. And he said, no, it's better up here than it is there. He didn't want to go to Abraham's bosom, to paradise. He didn't want to go to the grave. He didn't want to go to the holding place. He wanted to stay here where he could enjoy the life that God had given him. And so he wasn't ready to die. And I think most of us, most days, would say we're not ready to die. Now, there are some days along the way we say, well, even so come, right? If it's my time, take me. But most days, we want to stay here. And Hezekiah had that same desire, and he went to God with some evidence, and he said, God, look at my record. I've been true. I've been faithful. And then he turned and he wept. He was desperate, wasn't he? It's easy for me, the epitome of health, to stand before you tonight and say, I don't want to die. And by the way, I say that tongue in cheek because we never know. We never know when it's going to be our time. These ones that have been mentioned that had strokes, they didn't plan for that. You know, people don't expect those things, and then they happen. Heart attacks, don't expect them. A lot of times we work through them, don't we? We just don't give up because we're not ready to die. Hezekiah wept. He didn't want to die. He was desperate to live. He wanted to live. He loved his life. And so he prayed and he cried. He wept. What did he say? Look at verse 10. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I'm deprived of the residue of my years. The residue of my years. I know Brother Bassett just had a birthday. Brother Singletary's got a birthday next week. I said, how old will you be? He said, 86. I said, that used to be old, didn't it? It used to be older, right? Used to be unattainable. Man, 86. Nobody lived to be 86 years old. But now it's, you know, routine. And Hezekiah says, I feel like I've been cheated of something. I feel like it's being robbed from me, stolen from me. I got years left in me. I want to keep living. Verse number 11, I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord, in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed, is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. It's gone. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with the pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. And remember this, Hezekiah was sick unto death. He wasn't healthy. It wasn't a shock. He was sick. He was dying. And Isaiah just said, you're not going to recover. You will die from this. And Hezekiah said, I'm not ready. I'd rather be sick than dead, Hezekiah says. But he didn't, he says, I just feel like you've just cut it off like the weaver cuts off. Verse 13, I reckon till morning. How many of us have prayed through the night, stressed and worried, whether it be our health or someone else's? in prayer to the Lord, just even if we don't have anything to say. Just the Bible talks about those groanings of intercession that the Holy Spirit makes on our behalf in Romans, and that our spirit is just yielded to God, and we're before the throne in our spirit, and we're begging God, we're praying of God, please answer my prayer, hear my prayer, hear my cry. Till morning, he says. As a lion, so will he break all my bones from day even to night, would thou make an end of me. Boy, he was really just depressed over this. He was crushed. That's that bones are all broken. Crushed. Verse 14, like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. Oh, Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me. You hear that? He said, God, I can't even pray anymore. I cannot even express my grief anymore. I can't ask anymore. God, I need you to ask on my behalf. You ever pray that way? That's what he's talking about, the groanings of intercession in Romans with the Holy Spirit. Things that we know not how to verbalize, know not how to ask. We don't even know what to ask. God, help me. And the Holy Spirit makes groanings of intercession. He says, I'm weary with looking up. I can't even pray. I'm just laying before you. How many of you ever had a friend and they came and just sat next to you and they didn't say anything, but they just sat there? Remember Job's friends? Those three faithful friends of Job? Remember what they did for 7 days? They showed up and they just sat. They didn't say a word for 7 days. They just sat with them. You know what Hezekiah says? Hezekiah says, God, I don't have anything else to say. I'm just going to sit here in your presence and just trust you to take up my cause. Verse 15, what shall I say? He hath both spoken to me and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. He said finally at the end of his prayer, he said, I give up. He said, God, I'm surrendered to your will. I'm surrendered, whatever you want. God, this is what I want. I don't want to die. I feel like I've got years left. But I'm surrendered. I can't ask anymore. I'm just wore out with begging. So, God, I'm just trusting you. I'm surrendered to your will. Verse 16, O Lord, by these things men live. And all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live? God, please. My spirit's strong. My body's weak, but my spirit's strong. I still love you. I still want to praise you. I still want to serve you. Verse 17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now look, in the beginning he said, look, Lord, I've walked with you. But he was not ignorant to his own failures. Guys, as good as we want to be, we still have faults. As much as we try, we still sin. We still have shortcomings in our life. The Bible says all have come short. We do. We do. He resigns to accept God's will. He's hoping for life, but he's surrendered to God's will, whatever that is. Verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. Hallelujah, huh? Does prayer matter? I want you to understand something. When God sent Isaiah to Hezekiah, y'all remember there was a preacher in the Old Testament by the name of Jonah. And God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Nineveh was a wicked place. And they hated God. They hated Christians or believers, and they were ruthless. They were murderers. They were the worst. And God says, Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. And Jonah says, I ain't going to go. Because I know what's going to happen, God. I'm going to go there and I'm going to preach that you're going to destroy them. And they're going to repent and pray, and you're going to forgive them. And then you won't destroy them. Now, if you want to destroy them, I'll go. But if you're going to have mercy, I don't want to go preach to them. Remember that? Jonah went and he preached, and it was journey through the city as he preached, and people got saved. People turned their hearts to God. I know it's Old Testament. They turned their hearts to God, and they got converted. They got sackcloth and ashes. They repented of their sin. Even got the animals with ashes on them. They said, everybody's going to repent in this town. And Jonah went up on a hill, and he sat back, and he looked as he wanted to see the fire and brimstone rain down on him. And God had mercy. You know why? Because God is merciful. And what if God hadn't had mercy on Jonah? And what if God hadn't had mercy on us? He said, Isaiah, I want you to go tell King Hezekiah he's going to die. And you know what Isaiah did? He did what God told him to do. And Hezekiah turned to God and he said, please, God, give me more time. And God said, Isaiah, go back to King Hezekiah. And you tell him I'm going to give him more time. I'm going to give him 15 years. That's a big win, isn't it? I don't know how much time that I have left or you have left, but 15 years seems like a long time, doesn't it? Unless you're looking back at it. Then it seems like it was just smoke, right? Just passed by. He receives God's answer. He returns to King Hezekiah. He gives him the answer, but he doesn't stop there. He said, I'm going to prove it, and here's how I'll prove it. In verse number 6, I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city, and this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Verse 8, behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. Now, I'll tell you something. That's unbelievable. Now we look at it and we say it's impossible. Do you know what it would take for the shadow of the sun to go back 10 degrees? Well, the earth would have to turn back, and the earth can't turn back because the sun doesn't move. The earth moves around the sun. It moves around its own rotation. So you're telling me that God turned earth back? What happened to gravity? God made gravity. God made the earth on its rotation. God made the sun. Understand this. I believe God can do anything. And that was a miracle. What is a miracle? A miracle is something that is not naturally explained. And I can tell you that naturally that can't happen. Scientifically, it is impossible. But God can do whatever he wants to do. And you know, here's the thing. He didn't have to do that, did he? You think King Hezekiah needed proof? Hezekiah, you're going to get 15 more years. Woo! Hallelujah! I don't think he needed any proof. But God took the time, gave him a miracle of evidence, an assurance, a token, if you will, to say, here's how you'll know that I mean what I say. And he did what he said. Now, I don't know if that's 30 minutes or 40 minutes, because I don't know what the dial of A has. I don't know how many degrees it had on it. But I know that the shadow went backward, which means that the earth went back the wrong direction, and it can't do that, but God can do anything. And here's the thing, guys. We have to have confidence in God that he can do what can't be done. That's it. Because if he can't do what can't be done, then you and I do not deserve mercy and grace and the love of God. Because I'll tell you something, there have been times in my life where I was absolutely unlovable, but God loved me anyway. There were times when I was unredeemable, but God redeemed me anyway. God does the impossible because that's what it takes to save me and to save you and to redeem us from sin. Verse 18, for the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee, as I do this day, the Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore will we sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Hezekiah praised God for his answer. Is prayer important? It is. I've seen, it's not just one thing. You know, all I could go through each family in this church, those present and those not present. And I could tell you the marvelous, wonderful thing God has done because we asked. Pray. It makes a difference. Let's stand. I'll ask Brother Teague and Eleanor, if you will, stand at the door. We'll stand and have dismissal prayer. Don't forget Brotherhood, 8:30 Sunday morning in the fellowship. I hope you'll come. The first day of the year, Brother Cliff said, whatever you do on the first day of the year is what you'll do the rest of the year. All right. Father, we love you so much. We praise you for what you've done in our lives and what you're doing as a result of our prayers. Or for Lynn Lee as one example, and we lift her up to you now, asking that you'll touch her body. For Amanda and her situation. For Brother Turnbull and his situation. You could touch our bodies and make us whole. There's nothing you cannot do. And so we come before you and ask that you will touch our bodies. The diagnosis that the doctors have given of tumors and masses and cancer and diseases, we ask that you will touch our bodies, that you will add to us years of enjoyment. Not years of misery, but years that we can live and praise you and do your work. Dismiss us with your grace, forgive us of our sins, and bring us back again. In Jesus' name, amen.